Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Disney Resorts Podcast. My name is Kenny Hayes, and I am joined alongside, as always, by the one, the only, Walt Ramirez.
Hey, Ken, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Walt. So, folks, in this week's episode, some good news coming out of the Walt Disney World Resort. Disney recently announced on the DVC website that the Boardwalk Villas are now will be getting a refurb, and we'll get into that momentarily. Some more news coming out of there. Fantasmic finally returns for the first time since the closures of March 2020. Star Wars Galactic Cruiser, I'm sorry, Galactic Star Cruiser update. We have some information on that. Kona Cafe, after a long refurbishment, is about to reopen. Disney also just announced that if you're a Disney Visa card holder, next year they're going to be giving some pretty significant discounts, in our opinion, and we're going to get into that. And to wrap up the news section, it is November, and if you are a Disney fan like us, that only means one thing. Christmas has arrived, and so have the gingerbread houses. So we will get into that in the news segment. And then before we wrap up this week's episode, everybody, we saw a topic that another outlet did, and we want to dive into that and also give our opinions of it. And the topic was skip those Walt Disney World quick service restaurants for these. So we're going to give you our opinions. And then we're also going to dive into what they proposed. And we have some thoughts on that as well. So folks, it sounds like it's going to be a great show. Stick around. And real quick plug, if you are watching us over on YouTube, do us a big favor, hit that subscribe button, hit the like, hit the thumbs up for this show, and tell a friend. We'd really appreciate it. So, Walt.
Several.
Yes, tell several. You did very good. You did a very good job when you were on vacation. So, folks, everybody, it's not Disney news, but real quick, we all know that Walt just took a trip over to Europe, went to Portugal. We posted a lot of content up on our Instagram page. So, Walt, how was Portugal?
Fabulous. Yeah, I got caught up with some family. Big shout out to my cousin Cecilia and Sarah. So they are new followers and they're enjoying our content. And the trip was fabulous. Country's beautiful. I highly recommend anyone who has an opportunity to go there to travel. It's economically affordable compared to other countries in Europe. So it's just a really, really, really fun trip that I had.
I got to say, when you kept sending me those pictures, I was jealous. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the 8-hour plane trip because it's 8 hours, correct?
No, it's like a little 6.5.
6.5. Okay.
Yeah, it's not too long.
That would still be my longest flight. So
it's worth it, though.
But it is worth it. You sent me those pictures and that resort that you also stayed at.
Yes.
Looks absolutely gorgeous. And you and I went out over the weekend with the wives and we had dinner and you showed us some more and it looked absolutely beautiful.
Five-star resort, incredibly affordable, $200 a night, roughly, maybe a little more than that, compared to what we pay in Disney World. You'd be paying Grand Floridian or Polynesian prices for the view and the quality of the resort that I was at. And overall, the country itself, there's so much to see, a lot of history. So to me, if you're interested in history and you love the beaches and just traveling around, that is really a must do trip for most people. I would highly recommend it.
Well, from what I saw, you definitely made me want to go re-up my passport because it is expired right now. It's been Disney or the shore for quite a few years now, but we've definitely been talking. We want to venture out and try something new, and that's definitely has made it to the list.
Yeah, and I actually think I'm not 100% sure, but I think Disney Cruise Line has a Mediterranean cruise that leaves out of Lisbon, I believe, and goes to Barcelona. I have to double check on that, but I do recall seeing something like that. So
that would be good because we still get our Disney.
Yeah, you can still get your Disney, and you could still get out and sightsee. So you get the best of both worlds there.
I I agree.
Yep.
I agree. So
we're going to segue into our first news topic for this episode, which has been a sticking point for Ken for several months now. His beloved boardwalk refurbishment that he's been talking about has finally come to fruition. And Disney has finally listened to our suggestions, because obviously they must be watching our podcast. And I believe, are going to begin, or are they beginning the refurb?
So the first, I did see an article on one of the Facebook groups, and then I went over to the actual Disney Vacation Club website, and I clicked on the Boardwalk Resort, and they do have it up now in red that the Boardwalk will be going through a refurbishment, which includes now the villas. Now, anybody who's been listening, watching, Walter and I brought this up. If memory serves me correct, I think it was back in March that all the news broke about the refurbishment coming to Boardwalk. On the Boardwalk inside, which is the cash side, the non-DVC side, changes to the lobby and also changes to the Boardwalk, which we already know that the bakery became a deli. ESPN is now gone. The Cake Bake Shop is on its way next year. And now, actually, why can't I remember the name of it? A couple episodes ago, remember I told you when I needed to get that clip off my shirt?
And then, the gift shop and the young lobby lady,
yeah, had her go over to the gift shop. Well, that gift shop's now closed because it's being converted to a coffee shop. So that's underway right now. The lobby will be getting done sometime soon. But the only thing is, so you have to take this into account if you're a DVC member or if you're staying cash. Like, they're not giving any timetables for the rooms. So that makes me a little nervous because, you know, we've stayed at resorts that are under refurbishment, and sometimes they're loud and sometimes you're inconvenienced and you're still paying a lot of money. Or for me, you know, I'm using a lot of points. So, you know, but the more we know, as soon as we find out more information, we'll bring that to you. But I've said it, and it's funny because another article I read on another Facebook group, at the very end of the article discussing this topic, it was, well, recently a lot of people have been saying that it's much needed that the refurbishment is coming to the villa side of the Boardwalk. And yes, Walter and I are taking credit. We're taking credit.
You know, we've talked about this, and I know we're talking about this as a news topic, but it's kind of interesting because you mentioned this, I think, the last episode or the episode before, when you stayed there most recently, that you felt that it was I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you made it sound like it was in dire need of a refurbishment. Do you feel what did you feel was really the most in need? Is it just that it feels old, or is it that there's actually visible wear and tear in the rooms?
There's absolute visible wear and tear. But like I did say, it's old and in desperate need of refurbishment. However, it was clean. It was clean. It's not that it was dirty.
Right.
It was clean, old, like, hello, I need a refurbishment. You know, right. Because and I tried to – I don't know why this picture won't load. I think it's Disney trying to block us out and not – they don't want the news to come out.
None of you can load
it. JPEG's like, silence those guys. Silence them. We stayed in a one-bedroom last time, and if you stayed in a one-bedroom villa, right now there's still a wall – there's a wall divider with shutters that goes into the master bathroom, and that's where the jacuzzi tub is. Mm-hmm. Well, down below it's all framed out in a wainscoting, and that basically covers the motor, the jets, and all that. So evidently there was an issue some time ago in that room where we stayed. And like I said, they did a butcher job of – they literally cut the section out, then placed it back in, just gooped it up with caulk, and painted over it. And when I was laying in bed every night, and I usually lay on my side, and I'm like, that looks god awful. Like, that looks god awful. They should have just took the frame off, popped the wainscoting off, did your work, put it back on, reframed it up, and it wouldn't have looked like that. But even down wall to the carpet was frayed, especially up against the walls and at the transitions at the doorway. Mm-hmm. I know you love your carpet. Everyone knows you love your carpet.
Well, I was actually just going to ask you about that, because that's usually the first sign in a room that you can see that it's starting to wear, is the carpeting starting to go because of all the foot traffic in the room.
Yep.
So and you did notice that in there as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then when we were washing clothes, the night before, actually the afternoon before on our last day, and we had Moonlight Magic that night. So we wanted to get all that done prior to us going. Mm-hmm. And everyone's trying to take a nap, and the belt was whoa.
So there's a lot of little things.
There's a lot of little things. But like I said, it was not dirty at all. It just, it really needs it. For one of the, I'll call it one of the flagship resorts.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For Disney, its location is second to none. It's just like Boardwalk. I mean, I'm sorry, just like Beach Club. And yeah, you cannot beat that location. And Boardwalk is in desperate need, I think, of some TLC. And it's on its way. On its way, which is good.
Now, let me ask you this, because I don't know if you, I'm kind of throwing you a curveball on this, because we didn't talk about this. But do you recall if this is the last DVC resort that's getting a refurb? Or are there other, because I don't remember if there are any others that haven't. Because I almost feel like this is like, maybe Old Key West hasn't, but I feel like Boardwalk, for some reason, has been neglected.
Old Key West was completed before the pandemic, so that is fairly new. And then from Old Key West, they did Saratoga. Saratoga's major refurbishment is over, and probably in the next couple shows, we'll get into that. We have some stuff written down. There'll be some minor refurbishments of the pool coming into early next year, so we want to get that information out there to you. So in case you're looking to book a trip at one of these resorts, you know that some of these pools might not be available. Old Key West was done prior to Saratoga. Saratoga was just recently completed. Boulder Ridge is up next.
Okay.
So I don't know, Walt, if they're going to do Boulder Ridge and Boardwalk rooms at the same time, but it seems that way, but we'll see.
Yeah, because I'm a little bit out of the loop since I'm not a DVC member anymore, so you're more up on that news than I am. So the other one other news topic here that we're going to discuss today is the return of Fantasmic to Hollywood Studios. So that is the late evening show that has been closed down since COVID started and is now finally returning to Hollywood Studios. We're going to be putting up a little bit of a montage here for you of Fantasmic. Now, as much as I have slightly missed this show, it is not one of my favorites, simply because it is a absolute back killer, because you're sitting on bleachers for a good 45 minutes pre-show just to get in there to get a decent seat. And then the show itself is, I believe, close to a half hour to 40 minutes. Maybe it might even be an hour show. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
Yeah, I haven't attended it in quite a few years. So it, but it is coming back, which is good for anyone who hasn't seen it or anyone who misses it. So I'm always an advocate for shows that people enjoy, and especially like the nighttime shows to close out the park. Have you ever seen this show, Ken?
I have seen it once. Of course, it was pre-pandemic, because it hasn't showed since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a little, it's a little disappointing that it's taken this long to bring this show back.
Now, yes, I agree.
It's mind blowing that we're sitting here as of taping. It's November of 2022, and it shut down in March of 2020. So. Yes, I did see it. It was, I'm going to say, might have been probably 2019. My wife and I went on one of our adult only trips. And like you said, it's kind of long. I do not like the seating. It's that stadium bench seating.
Bleacher seats.
The bleacher seats. It's a killer on the you-know-what.
On the keister?
Yeah, it's a killer on the keister. I was not – it did not sit well with me. And then I thought my wife was going to get into a fight because we had an adult in front of us. And the show starts, and the sorcerer, he puts the sorcerer hat on.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He puts the sorcerer hat on, and, like, whichever way my wife tried to start watching the show, he kind of went with it, and then we finally had to tell him, like, you got to lose the hat. Can't sit. So he was definitely not happy with that. But – and it takes a lot for us. It does. Actually, it takes a lot more for me to say something. So it's, you know, so, but overall, yeah, I think, the show itself, not bad. Is it anything that I would rush for? No.
Yeah. I think it's a show that's more geared towards, kids, little kids, especially.
Yeah.
And for anyone who hasn't ever seen it, I would definitely recommend seeing it at least once.
Yeah.
So you can make your own judgment on whether or not you think it's worthwhile to go back and see it again. But for me personally, it's not going to crack the top two or three nighttime events that I would go to. So, again, like as you pointed out, it's good that it's coming back. And you could put that another check that box off of another show that has returned and come back.
So by the time this airs, this show will now be back. It returns November 3rd. So, yes. But I know Walt, though, a lot of people are excited for the show because when this stuff comes out, I try to read up as much as possible. I try to, you know, the Facebook pages I follow and some of the news articles that come out, a lot of people are interested in this.
Yeah,
like I said, I don't, it's not that I don't like it. It's nothing that I would personally rush to.
Correct. But everybody has different tastes. And like you said, if it's something you enjoy, it's back. So you can go put that on your list of things to do.
It's back.
Number three in the news. The Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. So, I think it's brought to you by Citibank. I'm not sure. You need to have a pretty large bank account to go on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. But I've noticed that in the news, and I think you brought this up earlier in pre-show, that we're seeing that there are no sold-out dates going into 2023, which is extraordinarily disappointing for Disney itself. And I'm sure that Disney corporate is probably sweating a little bit about this right now and wondering what to do about it.
There it is right there on the screen.
Yeah. Do you foresee a price cut in this thing? Because at the current rate, it's really unaffordable for the average family.
Well, Walt, I was looking it up, because I've seen some articles and some stuff come out regarding this. It's a 3-day, 2-night torture chamber. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. It's a 3-day, 2-night experience.
Be nice.
Be nice. Yes. And listen, I really liked Star Wars as a kid. I have not kept up with the movies in my adulthood, but I still like them. I have nothing against Star Wars. And I have nothing against this hotel, this experience, because I think everything I saw in LA, you and I have not been there.
Correct.
And I could probably say, I don't know if I will ever be there.
That's correct.
Because I feel that, number one, the prices are through the roof. Two, I don't want to feel like I'm locked up in jail, that I have to participate. Now, granted, they say you don't have to. But if I'm paying what these prices are, and we'll get into that momentarily, you bet your you know what that I'm going to be in costume and participating because of how much I paid. So on your average 3-day, 2-night experience, just your standard room is going to cost you over $4,800, Walt.
Ouch.
$4,800. And then they wonder why, you know, let's see, what did it showed January through September so far of 2023, not one date is sold out. Now, granted, it is November of 22, but they should have dates already.
Yeah, and normally you would start seeing dates in January and February that would start to sell out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then what? It gets even better. So if you're a party of four and you want to stay in a larger room, it's over $6,000 for basically 36 hours.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with that. Obviously, you have to be a tremendous Star Wars fan to do this. Mm-hmm. And you also have to be financially well off.
Yes.
And if both of those things apply to you and you enjoy it, knock your socks off. I think it's great. But I think that Disney may need to rethink this. Mm-hmm. Because if they are going to run into a situation where the bookings are not selling out, then they may have to drop the price, or they may have to retheme it in some way to try to get new interest into it. Again, I enjoy Star Wars. I've always enjoyed it. For me personally, and I think I can speak for Ken, we would not be interested in doing this type of a situation where you're role playing. But if this is something that, you know, you enjoy doing, and it's, you know, if you're an ultra Star Wars fan, then you can afford it, you know, that's great. But I think this is I always thought this was a niche mm-hmm. type of a thing. And I thought for a while, maybe I'm wrong, that maybe the international crowd and maybe the Asian crowd would come in, that they would travel, but it seems like they really aren't coming back in any sort of, you know, way, even though travel has opened up. Mm-hmm. And I just, I don't know. I think I may have been right from the beginning that this is a very niche thing, and that do you foresee them ever like, doing away with this? Because that would be pretty embarrassing, I think.
So this is what I wanted to ask you, and you touched on it and what you were just saying. So basically it's a 3-day, 2-night. It's an experience and everyone's playing their parts, you know. But how many times can you go to the well, Walt? Right, I don't care exactly how big of a fan, Star Wars fan you are, or just how big of a fan of how immersed you are with Disney in regards to Star Wars, right? That you would go back 4,800, 6,000. And then there's even a larger cabin that the article didn't even talk about the price. So I can't even imagine I think it was the captain's quarters, or forgive me if I miss it, but there's another step up that's even higher.
Mm. Wow.
So if I'm paying $4,000, $6,000, $8,000, right, for my 36 hour immersion, am I going to turn around and do that next year and go through the same playbook?
Yeah,
or is Disney going to have to say, hey, we're going to have to change up, you know, what's going on in the Galactic Star Cruiser? Because I don't want to keep paying $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 for the same thing over and over again, like a rerun. That's what it's going to turn into, a rerun.
I think they should have done that, made that from the very beginning, made that announcement and told everyone that that was where they were going with this, because like you said, that opens up questions about, you know, where is this going? Is this going to be the same repetitive thing over and over again with every experience? I could, you know, just as a, this obviously is a very, very minor example, not even really an example, but if you go on Star Tours, mm-hmm. you're not going to get the same ride because you're going to get different sequences. So this, something like this, you could say, well, you're not going to get the same storyline. You're going to get maybe a different storyline on your next experience, or maybe we're going to put a little bit of a twist on it. But, you know, like you said, at this price point, it's a very, very minor group of people that you're trying to attract. So I agree with you. You told me that this doesn't have a long lifespan, and I kind of agree with you on that.
I don't know. And it's funny because before we wrap up this part of the segment, I'll have to read. There's one more piece in his article. And this is how you know it's failing, is that so because of the most recent vacancies with the Galactic Star Cruiser of late, Disney has recently hosted travel agents for free 3-day, 2-night immersions.
Wow.
So when Disney and the world that we live in, the Bob Chapek era.
Yes.
Taking their most expensive resort, whatever you want to call it, and is giving it out to free to the people who sell it.
That tells you a lot.
That tells you a lot. Now, granted, when it first opened, all the big travel agencies, all the big vloggers, you know, your name brands, people who you and I have watched for years, of course they send them there. That's Disney Media, and it's their job that they get it for free because it's they expect them to pump it out. And I get it. I totally understand that. That's business. But when you're, you know, how long into this now? And you're giving out freebies to the travel agencies again? There's an issue.
A lot.
There's a huge issue here. But I've said it, Walt, and I've said it from the beginning. Unless you said to me that you were going to change it from time to time, it's a rerun. It's a $6,000-$10,000 rerun. I don't see any other way around it. I really don't. I don't know how it can be successful with this current operations. And I don't care how immersed you are. Right. I don't care if it's the same thing over again. Listen, we could be wrong, but I don't think so. I think something's going to have to change.
But even if I were a huge Star Wars fan and I really enjoyed doing this, I agree with you. You would say to yourself, why would I want to do the same exact thing again? I mean, I had fun. I had a great time. Mm-hmm. But if it's going to be the exact same thing, you know, I could take my $6,000 and spend it on something else in Disney World besides doing the same exact, experience. So, but, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. But put that on the list of Walt and Ken predict that this is is going out. I give it a year. How about you?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
What's the over under on Star Wars?
You know what the over under is? When they start sending us free stuff to go to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, then you know they're in trouble.
Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath on that. So the next news topic we've got is one of our favorite places to eat at the Polynesian. The Kona Cafe has been refurbished and has reopened, or is by the time the show airs, will be reopened.
Yep.
We have not seen a menu update, although we have read online that there will be some new offerings by the chef, but currently it appears that the menu is very similar or exactly the same as what it was. But Ken, you noticed some significant changes to the restaurant. I know that these are some older photos that you're putting up, but there are some new photos that are actually pretty nice. The looks like the lobby area has a new entrance as well.
Yeah. So what you see now, if you're watching us over on YouTube, the first two clips are from pre the Kona Cafe prior to the refurbishment. The picture you see up on the screen now is part of the refurbishment. So they did an entire new entryway into Kona, which I think it looks great. It totally ties into the Polynesian theme. Yeah, it looks really good. You could see there's new lighting. I do like that lighting as well. And the railing on the outside, because anyone who doesn't know Kona Cafe, it's located on the second floor in the Great Ceremonial House of the Polynesian. And it's a very open air. It's still inside, but it's a very open restaurant. Like you're not people walking by can see you. It looks like they modified the railing. The railing is just very sleek now. I saw in some of the other pictures of construction, they went with like that, like that aqua teal bluish kind of chairs now. Okay. More that, that Polynesian feel, that vibe, that look. And I just think it looks really cool. Like I said, slightly getting off topic from Kona, but staying on Polynesian. If there were more than just studios, excluding the the bungalows,
mm-hmm.
I would stay there, Walt, all the time. I love the Polynesian, but it doesn't always fit with, if, you know, depending on how many of us go.
Right.
I don't really, I understand they're the largest studios on property, but they're not, when you got a couple people, there's not enough room there still for me, at least. But for the Kona Cafe, everything I've seen so far looks great. Walt, like you mentioned, there's some hinting of some changes to the menu. Nothing has been confirmed yet. By the time this airs Sunday, it will be open already. So that's another good thing.
Yep.
Walt, what's your take? I know you've eaten at the Kona Cafe several times. I have dined there with my family twice, once dinner, mm-hmm. once breakfast. What's your thoughts on it real quick?
I'll tell you, for me personally, I like the Kona Cafe if my plans are involving the Magic Kingdom. If I'm going to the Magic Kingdom for a late night and I'm on my way there, I will make a reservation at Kona Cafe to eat and be able to leave my car there and then take the monorail over to Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Or in reverse, if I have an early day in the Magic Kingdom and I'm on my way back, I will stop there and have either a late lunch or an early dinner, just because I think the food there is, it's not, Epcot level, quality food, but it is above average standards. You're going to get a very, very good selection there. I've had the sushi there, which is actually pretty good. My wife's had the burger there. I've had sandwiches from there. I've had a bowl, it was like a rice bowl. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different selections on the menu that appeal to a lot of different, palates. And like I said, the location is excellent. It's on the second floor, like you mentioned, which is easy access to the monorail, which is right mm-hmm. there, right around the corner there. So, I would definitely suggest using that as an option for either dinner or lunch, either going or coming back from Magic Kingdom, because Magic Kingdom has a lot of limited dining, mm-hmm. and you definitely would get a better option there, and also get an easier, have a reservation be available much easier than you would at Magic Kingdom most of the time.
Yeah, I agree. The time when I had, I'll put it to you this way. When I had dinner there, I had to stick with the burger because as of now, a lot of it doesn't fit my palate. Like the sushi mm-hmm. and all that. Now my wife and that, they go crazy over it. So I go because that's where they like to go.
Mm-hmm.
They go places and take it on the chin for me. So I have no problem with going there. And you know what? It's not like you're twisting my arm to take me to Kona.
Right.
Because I go there, I get a burger. It's good. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good burger. Mm-hmm. But I like that feel of sitting there where the restaurant, like I said, is open. You get to see the people walking by, coming in and out of the monorail, going over to the Moana, the Mercantile across the way. I like it. It's like a small Grand Central Station. People are coming, going. And I'm a people watcher. Yep. I like it. So it's good to be able to sit there and enjoy a meal and still have that whole great ceremonial house vibe that I love mm-hmm. about the Polynesian. But like I said, my daughter and my wife love Kona Cafe. And if they had their way, we would go there each and every time we went on vacation. But I have been there for dinner and I have been there also for breakfast. And kind of like you, mm-hmm. I set it up one trip where I went there for breakfast and then went to Magic Kingdom.
Yep. You took the words out of my mouth.
Yep. So that was great because I didn't have to worry about parking at Magic Kingdom. Whoops, mm-hmm. I said it.
But, okay. Oh no!
I let the cat out of the bag. I did go there for. I had a reservation. Don't judge me.
Well, yeah. If you have a reservation, you can still leave your car there. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I had a reservation, so it was nice to go in. I had my Tonga toast. Walt, if you never had it, get Tonga toast. It's great. Tonga toast, couple sausage links, nice cup of coffee, and then we just moseyed on out, went right on the monorail, and.
Their menu is very similar to Captain Cook's downstairs, which is the quick service at the Polynesian.
Yes, which I think best quick service on property. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But and I believe at breakfast you can get the Tonga toast also at Captain Cook's as well. So keep that in mind, unless something has changed. But so Kona Cafe, it is open now. Go check it out and let us know in the comments below over on Instagram. We love to know what the menu's like and if anything has changed.
Absolutely. So topic number five, the 25% discount on the Disney Visa card. I believe that begins in December, Ken.
It's going to be after the new year. So from January, I think, up till the end of March. If you are a holder of a Disney Visa credit card, you can get anywhere from 25% off select Disney resorts all the way down to 10%. I think, and Walter and I pre-show, we're going over some of the numbers. And of course, it's every resort, so I did not go through everyone. But looking at some of the resorts that I think that people would like to stay at, some of the resorts that Walter and I have stayed at, and looking at the pricing, I put it to you this way. So you're looking at, I took the week that I'm going to be down in January. So you're looking at the 15th through the 19th in the 25% range. Coronado Springs comes into that. And Walt, I remember last year, early this year, I mean, when they had was that the Disney Plus discounts came out? Coronado Springs also fell into the 25%. And Walter and I said, if this resort was located anywhere else, it would not be in the 25% discounted range, but it is. So right now, and this is based on a 4-day, so the 15th through the 19th of January, random numbers, Coronado Springs standard view, just your basic run of the mill standard view room was going for $231.75 a night. It's still not bad. Well, I would pay $231 a night to stay at Coronado.
I agree.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to give me a discount to stay there. And I think we agree, we're pretty big fans of Coronado.
Mm-hmm.
That falls into the 25% off range. Pick that up for $1.73 a night and change before tax. That's
a steal. Yeah,
If I wasn't using points, I'd probably be staying there.
Yeah, that's a steal. And then you mentioned also that Beach Club.
Mm-hmm.
Is down with the 25% off is down to $400 a night, which is it's expensive, but when you consider where you're staying, mm-hmm. And all of the amenities that you have between the pool, access to the pool, access to Epcot at $400 a night for Beach Club, you're getting in that range where, you know, it's comparable to say a Saratoga at full price. And, you know, I would definitely, you know, I love Saratoga, but I would stay at Beach Club before I would stay at Saratoga. So whenever Disney does offer these 25% off, especially on the DVC resorts or on the higher end resorts, if you can, even if you do it, I know Ken's not a big fan of the split stays, but even if you do a split stay, just so you can get a feel or a taste of what, you know, the higher end resort or the DVC resort, it's worth it because I've done it and, you know, taking advantage of that price cut because it is so expensive to stay there on you know, a normal rate, it's definitely worth it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, even if you only stay for two nights and maybe stay somewhere else, like say at Coronado for two nights, it's just to get the feel of that resort, it's worth it. And there you have the list there. I would not stay at the All Stars for the 10% off. I wouldn't stay at the All Stars for 50% off. I'm not going to give the All Stars any love.
So like you said, well, Beach Club, great deal coming in at 20% off. Another one I like here, but I'll give it to you. And I know you don't like the All Stars, but if you're really bent on going to Disney and you want to take advantage of this deal, the All Stars, of course, only fall in, and I understand why. They fall in at the 10% off range. So I looked up All Star movies in those dates in January. Mm-hmm. Standard view, run of the mill, came in at $126.75 before the discount. You're looking at $114 a night.
Yeah,
that's almost like pre pandemic.
Yeah,
numbers there. I mean, if you just want to go away for a weekend and you want to just get that little bit of Disney. Okay, granted, that's not including tax. That's not including if you need park passes. So that's just
right.
That's just out the door what you're going to pay for your room. I think, I don't know about you, Walt, I think it's a good price. I really do.
Yeah, that's as low as you're going to get. If you're anywhere near $100 a night for a room in Disney World, that's as low as you're going to find. So I agree with you there.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. One thing I think, and we talked about pre-show too, another price I like, and it's been a while since I stayed there, and actually I did knock it. And I think I told that story months ago. Port Orleans Riverside came in at the 15% off range. Standard view run-of-the-mill room was running at $255 a night. You can get it with the 15% off down to $216 and change before tax.
Mm.
I like it. So that's not a bad price at all.
It's not, but I would take the Coronado over that, because Coronado has better dining options as well.
Agreed.
So
now, one thing I looked up too before we move.
Yeah.
Caribbean Beach. That was my first moderate I stayed at. And yeah, now, I always wanted to look at the price, because since it's a Skyliner resort now, it's always higher up. So that same week, it was coming in regular price at $241 with the 10% discount. Of course, it's in the 10% range. It's still down $216 a night.
Yeah, that's a really good price for that.
$216 a night for Caribbean Beach, Skyliner Resort. Yeah. That's, I don't know. You know what? You and I knock Disney for the pricing, but you can't. You give me Caribbean Beach $216 a night, and I could walk to the Skyliner. Sign me up.
Yeah, absolutely. Access to Epcot there. You can transfer. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So number six, and the last news topic is Ken's favorite. It is Christmas time in Disney World. And the gingerbread houses are under construction, or the gingerbread house, I should say, in the Grand Floridian. And you have on YouTube here, you have some pictures that we're putting up right now of the beginning of the construction of the gingerbread house. And you're probably going to see a photo soon of last year's completed house and what that looked like. But it's mind-boggling to think that it's November. Right now we're taping this. It's November 1st.
Yep.
And they are starting the construction of this on November 1st. So it goes to show you how much work goes into this. And if you've ever seen this in person, it's you could call it a modern marvel, because it really is. It's just the amount of work that goes into this thing is amazing.
Now, Walt, correct me if I'm wrong. When it's all said and done, you can actually walk up and they sell gingerbread from that location as well, right?
Yes. There's like a little table there next to it. You probably saw it there. I love gingerbread. In years past, I don't quote me here, but I thought that you could actually walk into it. And I think they've done away with it now because, you know, people were a little careless, I guess, and kids were tearing stuff down. So they're trying to eat it. You away. Yeah. So, but now they do have, a little table there next to it that they are selling all kinds of treats there as well.
I got to say though, Walt, I've only done Christmas once at Disney. And we had talks pre-show. We are trying to get down there.
Fingers yeah, we're crossed, trying.
Everybody. We're trying as hard as
we're
can.
We have some connections. We're trying to get some things done.
We got
done
connections now. We're trying. Yeah, it's not JPEG. So maybe, it's not JPEG.
No.
Stop
by. Definitely not. But we might try to get down there. We'll see. Hopefully.
I love gingerbread. I didn't mean to cut you off. Gingerbread is my favorite cookie.
Really?
Yeah. And my family, my household does not like gingerbread. So I get it when I can. And I'd be like a kid in a candy shop down there. Just give it to me.
You just gave me an idea for your Christmas presents.
I love gingerbread cookies. Yeah, my mom made them. They were good.
So our main topic tonight is going to be a topic that we saw on another website, and it kind of poked me a little bit because I read it, and Ken read it also, and and we looked at it, and we scratched our heads and said, you know, it's a fun topic to talk about, but some of the things that they discussed made no sense.
I agree.
So we're going to kind of give our version. We're going to clean it up a little bit and give our version of it. So the topic is quick service restaurants in the different parks in Disney World, and basically ones that you would avoid over a different one.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you were going to this particular one, hey, don't go there, go to this one instead. So we'll give you our list first, and then we'll kind of touch back to the original article and some of the things that made Ken and I scratch our heads about. I'm going to start out with Magic Kingdom. So in Magic Kingdom, I would not go to Cosmic Rays, and I would instead go to Pecos Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Pecos Bill has a much larger selection. You have the fajita platters, you have a Southwest salad, you have rice bowls, you can get nachos there. So there is a different selection there. Cosmic Rays is your standard Disney fare of burgers and, chicken tenders. So it's not for me personally. I would definitely do Pecos Bill over Cosmic Rays. So what do you feel about that, Ken?
I 100% agree with you, even though everyone knows by now that I have a palate of a 5-year-old child. because burgers, chicken tenders, sign me up, I'm there. So we were talking pre-show and I have not, oh yes, I have. I've been back once since the plague, over at Pecos Bill's, and they still at that time did not have the buffet out. It's not a buffet, but I would call it, was it the salad bar? You know, like the bar, the fixings out there. Because I used to love to get the tacos, the nachos, and then you go Pecos load.
Bill, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So pre-plague, I used to love it because you just go in there and just shovel that stuff on over at Pecos Bill's. And then, you know, that came. And then that all the fun stuff went away. But I heard it's now back. I have not eaten there since it's been back. But the nachos, the tacos, Pecos Bills, definitely Cosmic Rays, take a seat. I 100% yeah, I agree with Walter.
So at Hollywood Studios, Hollywood Studios, I would not go to ABC Commissary. Instead, I would go to Docking Bay 7, which is over in Star Wars. That has a beef pot roast, smoked pork ribs. It has a much different selection and probably the best selection in terms of quick service for Hollywood Studios. Hollywood Studios quick service is kind of limited, in my opinion. You can basically get similar type fare pretty much anywhere you go. So the Docking Bay 7 does give you a little bit more variety if you're looking for something a little bit different than your typical stuff. Now, ABC Commissary isn't bad. You do get a barbecue rib platter there. There's an Angus burger. There's a Mediterranean chicken salad. But nothing to knock your socks off. So in my opinion, I would do Docking Bay 7 over ABC Commissary.
Now, I am slightly different because I have never tried Docking Bay 7, but it sounds delicious. It's on the list. Mm-hmm. So mine would be between ABC Commissary and Backlot.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go with ABC Commissary over Backlot.
Okay.
I've had the ribs. I do like the ribs. I'm going to go with that. But Docking Bay 7 is definitely on my list, and you're not the only person that's told me that the menu is good there. So it is on my list when I go back that I definitely want to try it. So, but it's going to be ABC Commissary up and Backlot down, but not by
a lot. Down, okay. Okay, so it's a close.
It's close. It's close, close but it got there. The...
Okay. So over to Animal Kingdom now. Animal Kingdom, this is actually one of my favorite quick services on property. It's the Satouli Canteen. I would go there over Pizzafari. That's not even close. Not that Pizzafari is horrendously bad, but Setula Canteen is much, much better, light years better. It's got the cheeseburger pods, which taste like McDonald's cheeseburgers. I love those things. You have the vegetable hash rice bowls with you could add chicken or shrimp to it. Those are delicious. So if you're not in the mood for the cheeseburger pods, those bowls are tremendous. So I would go there instead. Pizzafari did add two new items, a baked ziti and a fettuccine Alfredo to their menu, but still not going to knock my socks off with that. I would definitely go to Setula Canteen
Pandora.
Pandora, thank you. Yes, yeah, I eventually it would pop into
my
head.
And that's your ride. Yeah. You always go there, and I don't.
Yeah, of course. I should know where it's at, but I, for some reason, couldn't think of it. Yes, over in Pandora. You've eaten at Setula Canteen, correct?
Yes, I've eaten at both of them, and I am 100% with you. The canteen is just, if all I could say is what you said it. If you like McDonald's cheeseburgers, then you're going to love the burger pods. They're dynamite. Mm-hmm. They really are. Well, you took me there, and whew, yeah, it's good. My January trip was the last time I had them. And you know what I like too? And I this is the only place that I eat it. You get the side dish with the coleslaw.
Yes.
And it has those little gel berries.
Yes.
They're like little gel balls.
Yeah.
On top of that. And
yeah, I forgot what they're called, but they're delicious.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called either, but definitely try it. And they're like super sweet.
Yes.
So it's almost like an explosion in your mouth, but whatever it is, it goes well with your side dish. It is just, yeah, try it out. Definitely try it. But yeah, now Pizzafari, because you and I talked pre-show. I think it gets trashed, kind of like Pizza Rizzo, like you said. It's your run-of-the-mill kind of... It's better than frozen pizza.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but yeah, if you're going to compare the two, hands down. So, I'm not even going to try and say it because I'm going to mess it up.
Setula Canteen.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think people love to beat up on the pizza options, a lot, especially people that are from New Jersey.
Yes.
Because we're so blessed with so many different varieties of good pizza places around here. But listen, the pizza that's in Disney, I would not expect it to be pizzeria quality pizza. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's edible. It's not terrible. It's basically a DiGiorno mini pizza that was put in an oven. So I don't think it's awful. Do I think it's expensive? Hey, of course, everything is in Disney, but I think people love to beat up on the pizza. And if you're in the mood for pizza and you're really not crazy for any of these other things on the menu, then, you know, it's like you said, it's definitely edible. It's not terrible. That's always everybody's whipping boy is the pizza places. So, we're going to move on lastly to Epcot. Mm-hmm. So Epcot was really difficult for me because there are really no bad places that you could probably eat at. I mean, maybe a few, but I kind of really pressed to think about this. So the one place that lately hasn't been getting a lot of love, and I haven't really eaten there recently, it's been a while, was at Sunshine Seasons over in the land. Basically, that is a typical food court type of a place where you have a lot of different options. You have sandwiches. You have, I believe there's like fried chicken there.
I think that's some vegetarian options too. They have a couple sections there. So there's a large
there's
portion.
There's a few sections.
Yep.
There's a few sections. So that hasn't gotten a lot of love lately. It is also super busy most of the time because it's the proximity to Soaring. And most people, while they're waiting to get on Soaring, will have lunch there. I prefer, and I would definitely recommend the Regal Eagle Smokehouse, which is over in the American Pavilion. That has a dry rub pork rib that comes with a mac and cheese. I've had that, and it's absolutely outstanding. My wife's had the smoked chicken, and there also is a beef brisket as well that is absolutely outstanding as well. So I would definitely go to Regal Eagle over Sunshine Seasons.
Now, neither of them. Bring back the electric umbrella. I want it. I do miss it. The food was average, but I do miss it. I never thought when the construction started that I would miss certain things from that area, but I do. I do miss the electric umbrella. And it's a funny story real quick, not getting off topic. We ate there one time. Actually, it was the last trip before they tore everything up. We ate there one last time.
Are you sure you want to tell the story?
Yeah, I'll tell her. So all of a sudden, I'm dumping my tray. And all of a sudden, I hear this clap. And you hear it's like, oh. My wife turned with the tray and just took this lady out. Just took her out. I mean, like, luckily she stayed conscious, but it was funny. She had her pretty good.
Oh, but, God.
I did like, but no, in all honesty, I'm still torn because I enjoy Sunshine Seasons. I really do. And I think they have a lot of options there. I actually like, because I generally don't go on Soarin'. So when the rest of the family goes into Soarin', sometimes it might be 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, whatever. I got to wait. I go, I grab something to eat. I sit back, I relax. But I also, I do like Regal Eagle. But it's a tough one. I'm even torn right now. Well, I'm really torn.
Yeah. I agree. It's hard to pick one that really isn't a good place. I even thought about the quick service across from the Mexico Pavilion.
Why can't I think of it? But I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's not really a great option there either. But like you said, it's tough to pick one because Epcot has just a tremendous variety of food. But you know, if I had gun to my head, I would say definitely the Regal Eagle over Sunshine Seasons for me.
I'm gonna agree. I was gonna stay neutral, but if you're gonna put a gun to my head, I'm gonna pick Regal Eagle. Because even I've had that same type of food during the food and wine and that,
right?
Before it was Regal, because they would have the small setup over there even before Regal Eagle existed. Mm-hmm. It was all like the smokehouse, all that kind of stuff, and it's really good. My only thing where I was going to play neutral is because sometimes I'm not in the mood for that brisket, smoky kind of meat flavor. And then sometimes I am. So
no, I can understand that.
Yeah. So to me, my opinion, you can't go wrong either way.
Mm-hmm.
But gun to my head, I would pick Regal Eagle.
So before we wrap up this episode, I wanted to really quick on this topic that we just finished. The original article we saw, I'll let Ken go first on the one absurdity that we felt. Go ahead and you can share that with us.
Well, there's actually two. Are we talking about Hollywood Studios or are we talking about the resorts?
Well, you could go with yours first and then I'll touch on the Hollywood Studios one.
So as Walter stated, we got this idea off of another site. It was what, the topic we just discussed. So there's a couple that Walter and I disagree with, and his topic is totally legitimate. So I'm just pulling it up right now. They want you to skip Captain Cook's for Contempo Cafe. Are these people on drugs? I have never. And I know people have their things. I like certain things that I know I'm well in the minority. Saratoga Springs is one of them. However, I have never heard a person say Contempo Cafe over Captain Cook's. Never.
Yeah.
All I hear is Captain Cooks is arguably, don't take it from me. Don't take it from you. Go listen to any one of those popular people out there. They're going to tell you the same thing.
Yeah,
Captain
absolutely.
Cooks is arguably the best quick service on property. I've never heard Contempo Cafe ever uttered the top. So,
but it gets more absurd because the other one was the Hollywood Studios, where you would forego Woody's Lunchbox. Okay, so let me repeat that. Woody's Lunchbox, which is in Toy Story Land, which serves predominantly, you know, PB&J and you know, hot dogs. I think there's a hot dog.
There's
a
grilled
there.
Cheese too.
There's a grilled cheese. So it's basically kids' fare.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of going to Woody's Lunchbox, they suggested to go to Baseline Tap House.
Absolutely.
So little Timmy put down the grilled cheese. We're going to go throw back a couple at Baseline Tap House. I don't know what they were thinking when they made that comparison. I mean, it's just comparing apples to oranges. It's not even in the same stratosphere. One is a completely adult place, and the other one is basically geared towards kids. So I don't know where that came from. I mean, if you're going to compare apples to apples, you know, maybe go from Woody's Lunchbox to, you know, Pizzafari. Okay. So at least, you know, you're comparing something that's similar, but to compare it to Baseline Tap House, I don't know. I mean, again, Ken and I would definitely go to Baseline Tap House because that's our favorite place. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the topic of this particular story, it made no sense to me. And so I, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking when they were comparing those two.
Well, like, well, I 100% agree with you because even if you want to make the ridiculous argument over Contempo Cafe over Captain Cook's, it's still quick service versus quick service. Quick service at a resort, quick service at a resort. You're talking about Woody's Lunchbox and taking little Timmy over to get hammered at Baseline. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I mean, like, does a kid really want to have charcuterie? I mean, yes, you could get him a soda. Yeah, I could tell you, but that was the last place I would want to go if I was a kid. I'd be like, come on, Dad, let's go. Drink that beer and let's go. We got to go. You know, I want to get back on the rides. Our opinion, it was totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
How you can compare the two. So, you know, grilled cheese or charcuterie.
I don't know.
But
just to wrap up this episode real quick, one last thing I wanted to talk about, and Ken and I talked about this in the pre-show. It seems as if, despite many articles that we've read over the last several months about folks giving up their annual passes, much like I did, selling their DVC because perhaps they were disgruntled about fees and other changes to the parks. It seems like Disney is not missing a beat here. So sad to say that despite many folks trying to make an impact by showing Disney their, you know, their unhappiness with all of the changes that have gone on, they continue to, they'll step right over your dead body and keep right on going in there. So they could care less. The place is still packed. I've noticed that in the upcoming weeks, with some of the school closures in the Northeast, in the New Jersey area, that Magic Kingdom reservations are no longer available for that week. So the New Jersey crowds are coming down to Florida, and people are still traveling. You know, despite, you know, the economy and other things, other factors going on, people are still going. So any hopes of any changes coming probably will never come to fruition. So basically you're going to just have to learn to adjust to the way things have evolved.
You're 100% right. Like we talked pre-show, you have inflation, you know, the economy's a little rough, and you know, we all say it. You read all these articles, you hear all these people talk. I'm giving up my pass. I'm selling my DVC. I'm never going again. And the next person is literally pushing you down and heading right through those gates. Attendance is where they want it to be. The park reservation system is where they want it to be. They are controlling everything, and it's working. So, like you said, I think at a point where we have to, and we have every right to complain, and we have every right to voice our opinion, but I think at a certain point, we can't continue to beat a dead horse because we're the only people that can make a change. And we're not going to go. You know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we sit here and talk about this, we're trying to sneak down in December. So we're just guilty. So
it seems like they're bulletproof of any kind of anything that they try to change up that people are disagree with. Although in Disneyland Paris, there are protests right now going on. So, but in the U.S., we really can't be bothered with that sort of thing. So we just keep gotta trucking. Go, you know,
we just keep trucking.
It's no big deal. But, you know, hey, it was a good show. Some interesting topics that we touched on.
Very good show.
I had some fun, and we'll see you on the next episode.
All right. All right, folks. Good show as always, Walt. This is a really good one. This is a really good one. So, all right, folks, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Disney Resorts Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. For Walt Ramirez, I'm Kenny Hayes. Take care, everybody.